Oasis Audio presents Winter Turns to Spring by Gary Chapman and Catherine Palmer. Read for you by Jill Schellebarger. Chapter 1. Brad Haynes walked across the parking lot toward Larry's Lake Lounge with one goal in mind, and she would be sitting at the far end of the bar. Yvonne Ratcliffe, the tavern's entertainer, had a rich, earthy voice that welled out, filled the crowded, smoky room, and strummed every sinew of Brad's body. Aware that his wife wasn't fond of Yvonne, or the other regulars at Larry's, he had debated letting his co-workers from the construction site go on without him. In December, the water's surface at Lake of the Ozarks reflected the ice-gray sky. The wind whipping across the town of Tranquility bit right through his denim jacket. It wouldn't be a good night to stay out late, Brad knew. Still, nothing sounded better than a few brews, some laughs with his friends, and a couple of hours shooting pool while listening to music. "You sure Ashley won't mind us hanging out at Larry's for a while?" Mac Lang, another member of the construction crew, ambled alongside Brad. "My number 2X wanted me home for dinner at 6 every night on the dot. She about suffocated me with all her rules and regulations." "Nah," Brad shook his head. "Ashley's probably not even at the house. She started that sideline business selling necklaces, remember? Them homemade beads?" "Yeah, and with Christmas just around the corner, she's working day and night to fill orders. Still clocking in at the country club, too." "Sure, Ashley's not giving up that job." As he and his friend neared the tavern, Brad reflected on his wife, her black and white waitress outfit clean and pressed, her long red hair wound up in a bun, and her pale neck stacked with beaded necklaces she'd made. Ashley would know her husband planned to go to Larry's this evening, though she'd asked him 100 times to steer clear of the place. She complained that Brad drank too much, came home smelling like a dirty ashtray, and always went off to work the next day with a headache. Some of what she said was true, though he argued that he didn't see anything wrong with having a few beers with his friends. "She probably wouldn't even notice if I did come home," Brad said, a surge of frustration filling his chest. "I'm a plain guy, you know. I don't ask much of a wife. A clean house, the laundry done, and 3 squares. With the necklace production going full steam, Ashley can hardly stay focused enough to tie her own shoes. She never fixes my supper anymore. I have to scrounge up a can of soup or a box of macaroni. Pretty pitiful after a long day building condos in the middle of a Missouri winter." "Welcome to the club," Max said. "I hated marriage, but I hate being a bachelor, too. I guess you'll have to find your fun wherever you can. Speaking of which, sounds like Yvonne is on stage." Brad tried not to react to the comment, undoubtedly a reference to the growing attraction between himself and the singer. He hadn't realized it was so obvious. Yvonne, or Y-Vonne, as she pronounced it, had a beautiful voice, and she was easy on the eyes, too. She had a kid, she told Brad, but childbearing hadn't hurt her figure. With her long brown hair, black-rimmed green eyes, and skin-tight jeans, she could do things with her voice that kept every male eye in the place riveted. But Yvonne's focus was always on Brad. Every song she belted out was aimed straight at him, and when she took her usual place at the end of the bar, he couldn't do anything but amble over and buy her a drink or two. Reaching for the door, Brad heard Yvonne launch into a familiar song about the joys of being a redneck woman, but as he pulled on the handle, another sound sent shivers up his back. A high-pitched wail began as a sharp "yip," and then ebbed into a pathetic "whoa, whoa." Brad turned toward the noise, and it started again. After a moment, the sequence ended with a softly muttered, "Oh." "What the?" Brad took off his ball cap and scratched his forehead as he studied the rapidly filling parking lot. "Sounds like a baby crying," Max said as the two men took tentative steps in the direction of the wails. "No way. Who would leave a kid out in this cold? Things like that happen in big cities, not here." The voice howled. "Meow! Bow!" "Hey!" Brad called out. "Who's there?" Though it was only a little after